Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay. We're all talking at the same time here. Hey, hi, this is Robin Misevich. I am one of the diners tonight. We greet everybody to the show tonight. We're really excited about tonight's menu. We have all good kind of things. And I think Miss Kathy Elliott is in the house. Kathy, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Kathy Elliott. I'm not on the switchboard tonight. I am a joy agent in this lifetime, and my purpose is to spread happiness, joy, and laughter wherever I go.
Woo-hoo!
And now
woo-hoo,
I'm
okay.
Robin, I'll be at the cafe shortly.
Okay. She's on her way, and she's actually calling via her new iPhone. She's very excited about the iPhone situation there. And I see Mr. Jamie is in the house. Hey, Mr. Jamie, would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a friend of Robin's from old school, and I have a tattoo shop up in Seattle for the last 14 years, and I apply people's psychic armor and try to make them feel better about their skin.
You apply psychic armor. Isn't that awesome? I know. Yeah. That's very, very cool. Yeah. So we have other diners that are here, and we're encouraging to go ahead and introduce themselves if they'd like to. If not, the table is, we're all pulling our chairs up. So if anybody wants to go ahead and just add to the comments on the tonight's topics, I really welcome everybody to do that. Tonight, we are eating at the Islands Restaurant. It's a hamburger joint out here in the California area. And we're going to get some appetizers going right away here, guys. So, Mr. Jamie, let me know what you want to go ahead and go on that. We have beachside sliders. Those are those little mini burgers that were caramelized onions on toasted buns. Of course, they have to be toasted with all kinds of goody condiments on the side. We have island fries, which are really good because they have the 0 grams of trans fat. So we know that's a good thing. And we might as well add on the cheddar cheese because they have cheddar fries. So, hey, we don't have the trans fat, so let's add the fat on there with the cheddar cheese. And then we have quesadillas, nachos, and the ever-popular tiki tenders, which, of course, is your chicken tenders served with honey mustard and barbecue sauce. And since Miss Cassie's here, I know she already wants to do the spinach artichoke dip. Yeah, because that's just one of her faves. No matter where she is, she loves to go ahead and do that. So, Mr. Jamie, what else would you like to have us get a waiter? What do you think? What should we do?
Well, you know, those sliders sound good. And, of course,
you want to get the sliders? Okay. Well, let's
I would
go ahead
like
and get
that.
The sliders on. Yeah, okay. So we got sliders.
Kind of
and we
a mini meal, huh?
Yeah, it is kind of a mini meal. We're like, and then I want a big burger to go with my sliders. Okay.
Ooh. Oh, let's try the
cheeky
ones on cheeky.
We're going to talk the tiki tenders. The tiki tenders, how about that? Okay, tiki tenders, and then we're going to get one of those big whopping burgers after we get all done with that. So that's cool. Okay, so all kinds of really interesting things, like always, before we get on the air. And Mr. Jamie, would you go ahead and get us up to date on what's been happening with the Midwest and anything else that you'd like to get us updated with the Mother Earth update?
Well, Midwest had a series of storms over the weekend. I believe in the Tornado Alley area, which I always do. I think there were 7 dead in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, there was a swath 7 miles long and 100 yards wide that everything was destroyed, including a high school, I think, right before graduation. So it's a really good thing that only, well, not a good thing, but it could have been a lot worse as far as fatalities go. Well, again, this is just pretty early for a season like this, and I think they said there were 40 or 50 tornadoes in this particular area.
And that was over just the weekend?
That was, I believe, like Saturday and Sunday, but one night was worse than, I think they're still trying to figure out what exactly, how, you know, but there was quite a bit of destruction, and I guess with a tornado, it's pretty absolute.
Yeah, so there was 11 tornadoes over the weekend?
I would say 40 or 50 in this storm, but not particularly in this one particular area, but in the area of the storm. And one
oh
that
goodness.
Went, like I said, that was on the ground for quite a while,
wow.
7 miles and 7 miles long and 100 yards wide area, everything was completely destroyed. But again,
wow.
That's the destructive nature of those particular storms. Our Icelandic volcano, I haven't heard very much, so I guess it's kind
uh-huh.
of being a little
yeah,
okay. better.
I mean, you know, it's just
yeah.
being over there in Iceland, and it's not making a big problem for anybody now, so everybody's kind of ignoring that.
I think if we did hear about it, it would be concerning air travel.
Right,
the,
right.
They have some sort of device or contraption, like a containment that they have placed, and they are pumping oil, but there still is a leak, and they're not
yeah.
really, again, certain of the volume or what they've said.
Uh-huh.
I know that the oil is now reaching Florida, I believe, and their best plans are to, I think, to drill relief wells, but that would be in August.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's quite a mess, believe me.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's
yeah.
going to be any better for years and years and years, even if they can contain this particular leak.
Yeah, I
so
was
I think
watching
that. I hate to see the bear of that news, but that's, what, that's all I have to report.
Oh, well, you know, gosh, there's nothing going on, huh? My goodness. I mean, let's go back to the Midwestern storms. Was there any other time in history that it's been so intense like that over a weekend like that?
Oh, of course. I'm sure there have been worse storms, but this is particularly early.
I don't know. That sounds pretty harrowing, you
well,
know, considering what
I mean,
what
I think before the advent of a warning, you know, where they were able to warn people, there were quite a bit more more advanced warnings. I guess the what I'm saying is that there'd be people are more alert, and whereas maybe before there wasn't, I guess. But I'm sure there've been tornadoes that have killed more people.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. Well, I was watching Larry King Live last night, and he started out with James Cameron. And with James Cameron, he's very familiar with all those mini subs that he was doing with all the research and stuff he did with the Titanic. And he's been actually involved with these marine level of research and things like that for the last 20 years. And back at the beginning of, I guess it was the first and second, the Environment Protection Agencies were actually got together at the White House, and they were having a major meeting about, you know, what can we do, what do we know, in helping PB to assist them on any level that they can, because James had actually offered to have some of these other subs go over and help BP with anything that they had. They have their own subs, apparently, and they're kind of minimizing it. And he said that, James was saying that made sense, that they didn't really want to have other subs there because it's a matter of they already have their protocol of how they do things, and it's hard enough the fact that they're a mile down, you know, under the ocean there, about what they're doing.
That is definitely a concern, because something this deep and at this level, they're not really used to dealing with, although they do have procedures for drilling that's in shallower water. But this, unfortunately, is a lot deeper than they're used to. So.
Yeah, one thing, too, they were saying is that we've had other instances on the planet like this before. There's been some in Australia and some off the coast of Brazil that were leaking, I'm not sure as much as this, but definitely there were leaks from other drill, you know, other drilling sites. And
mm-hmm.
so, and they were taking 4 or 5 months to be able to have it get shut down. So
all right. Well, this
is something that we're living right in the middle of it, and it's involving a lot of coastline life. So it's definitely something where we're taking it, you know, just the fact that it's right off of our coast, we're very much in the middle of looking at all of it. So just kind of interesting thing. One thing they were saying, though, is that with the way that everybody wants to just shut it down, and all the experts, especially people who are into the drilling companies and stuff, are saying that that's the worst thing we could possibly do, because that pressure's got to go someplace else. And so it's a matter of easing
that
the...
That is definitely one way is trying to plug it up.
Plugging it up, we might have another leak down the road, which actually...
Oh, right, of course.
We'll have
two places
leaking as opposed to just one. So I believe
they said it was the 50th day of the actual leak.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? That it's been that long. And they're saying we're probably looking at, like Jamie was saying, you know, it won't really be till August till they have that,
any type of wells drilled or any type of...
Right, having the other what do they call
it? Another contingency plan. They have to bring in a couple more. Well, they have to drill down again. So.
Right, and they're saying that that's no guarantee that it'll actually stop it, but they're hoping that it'll be successful and be able to relieve the pressure.
Well, I think they're trying to relieve pressure and to siphon off as much oil as they can that doesn't get water or on the surface.
Yeah. They were I got a thing today from David Spangler. And David, if you want to check out his website, he's at lauren.com. And David's very wonderful at being able to give things more of a spiritual perspective. And I actually got this morning and shared it with Jamie and Kathy before we went on the air. He had talked about how he had seen a powerful interview with a man from a TV taping that they did. They said, I'm just going to go ahead and read some of the copy on this. He said, a Louisiana coastal resident was driving down a road alongside a beach that was being hardest hit by the oil at the moment. He was complaining about the lack of any cleanup crews on the beach and was venting his anger to BP. He had a large mustache and quivered it with indignation as he spoke, and with his voice rough and strained with the fury, suddenly he stopped, jumped out of the truck, running down along the beach with the news cameraman right behind him. He suddenly stopped, plunged his hand into the oily sand, and there he pulled up a small bird just big enough to fit in the palm of his hand. He was covered with oil, but he was still alive. And the man just said, oh, this poor bird, and he cradled it, and his voice softened to one of caring and compassion. He said, this poor, poor creature. And David goes on to say that, you know, but in that twinkle of an eye, he went from shouting at a cameraman and his attention focused on BP to the anger of them to someone perceiving the plight of another living creature and the shifting of his attention to do what he could in revealing the depth of this caring and the fact that he did, in the act of saying this is a terrible thing, what small thing can I do? And I think that's something that we all need to really recognize is that in doing that, it's just like a subtle activism and knowing that we can take an event that's unfolding with the consequences and understanding our anger and sorrow, but knowing that and setting that aside, just like that man did in the news story, we can express that anger by taking action for another living creature. And in doing so, our anger could actually turn into compassion and a way of healing the light that definitely needs to be on the planet. So I really wanted to encourage everybody with what David was sharing about subtle activism as it being a way that we can use our subtle energies with our consciousness and being able to have it be physical ways that can substitute, being meaningful and appropriate in physical actions and making sure that that's really important. He goes on to have like five different things that he encourages everybody to recognize, and one of those is attuning to the spirit of the place. And just really praying that the Gulf itself would have a special love and compassion from, you know, be it if you believe in angels and, you know, your level of spirit and source, and having it become a sacred place. And then coming into that sacredness, you know, really focusing on that as a place where it can really have an impact on it. One thing we need to recognize that Dave is sharing is that, you know, the fact that the Gulf's going to be affected, everything's going to be affected to a certain level. And, you know, sooner or later, we're all going to see the evidence of that. There's fears that the fact that it's going to be with us for so long, we're actually going to have to be experiencing oil, you know, rain. Our rainwater will have oil in it because it's getting, you know, evaporating into the clouds, and we're going to have to be dealing with that in the future. So we definitely all need to take a personal, investment in this, knowing that it's going to be something affecting us. And one thing I really liked, the last few days I've been waking up and feeling sad, and I didn't necessarily have anything on a personal level that was causing my sorrow.
And it really made me recognize that there's a certain level of grief that's happening, seeing something like this happen, just like it, when we had the 9/11 incident, you know, recognizing this is a 9/11 for our environment. And that it's
I really have a problem sometimes with the coverage of the animals and the oil, because it's really sad. I mean,
those pelicans covered in oil. It's just, it's just heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking
to think that there's just such victims. They're being such victims of, man's greediness and just disregard for, the fact that we've got other, responsibilities to other beings on the planet. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Carolyn Kaufman, I had noticed a couple of days ago, she's one of our, comes on and visits with us regularly. I'm not sure she's going to be able to be on tonight. Might be coming a little bit later. She was going to hope to be on. But if you go to Ripples of Love, and the full name of the website, her program that she's got on Facebook is called Ripples of Love for the Gulf Coast and Everyone Affected by the Oil Spill. And it's actually pretty much just kind of a dedication to people wanting to just send their love and light to the Gulf and just kind of having a collective where everybody could be just wanting to come from a positive place as opposed to kind of feeling like we really don't have any energy or any kind of a say in what's happening with everything. One of the last things I wanted to share with what David had said, which I thought was really lovely, again, I'm just going to read this. He said, many years ago, a friend of his was involved in a drilling oil well in Louisiana, and one day he gave him a small bottle of crude oil that he had brought up from 1 mile or so under the earth. He said it was interesting to see that it was reddish in color, and it made him think of the many indigenous people who refer to the oil of the earth as blood. Mm. And in his spiritual traditions, the spilling of blood is sacred to consider transformation. He said perhaps we might see this oil spill as Gaia, which is another name for Mother Earth, depending on your spiritual perspective. Gaia spilling her blood to effect a transformation in our consciousness that we can learn to truly think like a planet and to care for the world that sustains us. If so, our prayers for this sacredness will not be in vain. So I thought that was just really lovely to talk about, looking at the oil of the, and Mother and the sacredness of all these things happening. One thing, too, about that, too, is recognizing in different perspectives that everything alive has a consciousness to it, whether it's a cell all the way up to an animal or plant life and things like that. So there's definitely all kinds of trauma happening, in that area that's being kind of felt on different levels. So any kind of love and prayers and just getting ourselves in a still place and then sending love can be very, very high impact on that. Kathy, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I'll keep first.
Okay. So just kind of wanted to put it out on that. Damon, did you have anything else you want to say?
I think I've said enough for tonight.
You think you said enough? Okay, we'll just move on with the sliders.
There we go.
Yeah. We definitely, one of the focuses on our show is we want to keep a very spiritual perspective and yet try to keep it light and fun. And there's just times where we just have to be in respect of what's really happening and try to put a loving and compassionate energy out there and have it go forward. So I just want to kind of put that out for everybody, for you guys. So another interesting thing that we had come across was Kathy had sent me an information on an ATM number that I'm going to go ahead and read this thing. It said that there was a lady who had been kidnapped, and she wound up being murdered from the incident where the guy was trying to rob her at an ATM, and the this article on an email was saying that if she had put her PIN number in backwards, it would have notified the bank, and also the local police would have been notified that there was something wrong with the ATM. And that she might have been able to come and get help. And so people should know about that. It was recently broadcast on Fox TV, and it stated that it's seldom used because people don't know about it. And I shared it with a few people, and some people had said apparently the method was proposed but not implemented by the banks. So there's a little controversy on if banks are really doing that and how many of them are. So I just wanted to kind of pass that along to any of our listeners. If they might have saw that email, they might want to check with their local bank. That's actually true for them, because depending on your bank, they may not necessarily be doing it with everybody. But Fox TV also reported it. So, gosh, it's got to be true if Fox said it. Yeah. What?
I thought about trying it out, and then I thought,
yeah.
Oh, man, it would be really bad if the cops arrested the guy behind me, so.
The guy was just trying it. He's kind of like, woof, woof. Yeah, well, you know, every time you came up to an ATM for that, they were like, oh, there's that Kathy stick again. Okay, no, we've got
well,
to move on.
You know, I've never used an ATM in my life, not once.
Oh,
really? Wow.
No.
I'm kind of shocked.
I mean, the way. Why?
I don't have a debit card either, but, you know, that's me.
Wow.
For not using the convenience of an ATM.
Mm-hmm.
It is convenient, yes.
So you must not be inconvenienced by going to the bank.
Yeah, they're definitely saying that it's a hoax. So I'm kind of surprised that Fox TV reported it, but somebody could have just said that as a part of the email that they sent out. So I was trying
it
to
sounds,
get
it sounds interesting, though. I mean, if it is
yeah,
a hoax.
Yeah, and I think, you know, well, like the research that we had found out that said that, you know, the method was proposed, but it hadn't been implemented by the banks. So, you know. Like there was some level of people looking at it, but, you know, that's basically where we are right now is not necessarily true, and to make sure that you check your local bank to see if there's anything like that, that they're able to check on that. And they're also having a question about 4114 as maybe another way for having it be a PIN number that would be something for security. So I'm not real sure about that either.
Hmm.
So we did definitely, just like I said, yeah, having same numbers and things like that. So, like, that was the point. So what if you had 4114 and you went backwards? There's no way that the bank would know that you're, you know, doing it backwards.
It is backwards.
Or any number. I mean, you know, whether you did 3113 or whatever. There's, you know, any kind of, you know, there's various, you know, gosh, I don't know, probably a million different combinations you could do depending on that wouldn't be necessarily viable that they would know that there was a problem. So anyway, something to think about with that. And, you know, like I said, just, you know, calling your local bank to find out if there's something that they can know about that. So I just wanted to pass that one along because, when I first got it from Kathy, I was like, gosh, that's really great. I'm glad to know that. So, you know, and then we find out that it's not necessarily so. But anyway, check with your banks and see what they say about that kinds of stuff. So
Out of curiosity, who do you bank with?
Who do I bank with?
Mm-hmm.
I have to bank with a couple local people in the Riverside area that I have. So yeah.
Oh, not a big chain.
No, not a big chain, so that's okay.
Okay,
credit unions are awesome. So there you go. I'd like any of your financial institutions, just check with if they have any ways of doing protection security and what their policies are for ATM procedures. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a new little side dish that we have that Kathy and I had a wonderful experience the other day, and we said, gosh, we should really have a side dish on this. So we have this new thing we're adding to the show depending on what we have going on. It says, hey, have I got a deal for you, okay? So this one's all about different kinds of interesting items that we see for sale or we want to share just for fun so you guys can be aware of some new products and services that are out there. So, Kathy, why don't you tell them about your product that you're offering tonight? Go ahead.
I have a whoopee wand, but I don't know if I want to sell it because I cured my first patient.
Well, you have to tell them about the whoopee wand and what that's all about. So there you go.
So my whoopee wand has zero gravity in it, and if you put it, circle it around swelling or pain or something like that, then it takes the pain away. I thought it was fabulous. That was just an awesome thing. While I was waiting for it to get it in the mail, I found out that it doesn't last. The person has to come back and get it, get the whoopee wand. What do you do with the wand? Circled around their element again. It's not a permanent cure. So I have it for sale for $100 if anybody wants one. Oh, I shouldn't have said that about the cure. You have four and you need to cure it every 2 weeks. Well, go ahead and purchase it from me, and you'll have it right next to you in your pocket. It's only the size of a ballpoint pen. It even has a little clip on it, $100 or a belt offer.
Her best offer. There you go. There you go. Well, so she introduced it to me. We went to a wonderful tea this last weekend, and she brought it out. She goes, "Hey, check out my wand." You know, so she's showing it to me, and I'm like, "Oh, what does it do?" And she's all like, "Well, you put it on something. You know, you focus it on a wound or anything, kind of a little ache or pain. You put circles around it." I said, "Well, couldn't you take your finger out and like do circles with your finger, and it would kind of do the same thing, you know?" And she kind of looked at me like, "Anybody want to buy my wand?"
Oh, you know what? I just opened a piece of mail I had in my purse. This is kind of interesting.
Okay.
It says, I don't know why. I never really asked about this. But it says, "We'd like to remind you that damage caused by an earthquake is not covered by your insurance company."
That's right. You have to buy special insurance for earthquakes.
So we will sell you some for, $100. So...
So there you go. You get the magic wand, and you can, like, do it over your house, and you've got protection. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So for $100, you can have a whoopee wand, or $103 if you want to make me a better offer, or $105.
There you go.
If you're on the switchboard, open the lines up. So.
Okay. So anybody's interested, just get, you know, come on the switchboard, and I'll go ahead, and you guys can work it out right here on the air. That'll be interesting. So there you go. But it was definitely a good laugh when we were showing it at the tea the other day. So there you go. It was quite a little fun topic. So that's really cool.
I could keep it in my purse, and I can wound it around and cure everybody in the restaurant, so I'm happy.
Ooh, that's cool. Okay. Or she can even just do little healings, you know. For a buck, you can get a little bit of a healing going on there. That's cool, too. So that's good. Well, I think we're ready to switch to our hamburgers. What do you think? I think it's hamburger time. So we have the hula, which has the sautéed mushrooms with it. We got the blue nami, which is blue cheese, tomato lettuce with red onion, and crumbled blue cheese. The Maui's got guacamole, lettuce, tomato, Swiss, and mayo. Hawaiian's got the pineapple teriyaki sauce with the lettuce and tomato. The Pipeline, I think I'm liking the Pipeline. It's got chili, cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, and all that good stuff on it. Sunset's got the barbecue, and there is veggie. So depending on what you're going. What do you think, Jamie?
One Pipeline, please.
We're going for the Pipeline, Mr. Chili. I think I want to do that. Hey, how about we split that, and then we'll have more space for dessert. What do you think? You want to split one with me? Okay.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
How about you, Miss Kathy?
Oh, I'm going straight for dessert.
She's going for dessert. Okay. Okay. Well, should we look? Maybe should we look at desserts too? Since we're like looking for desserts. There we go. So let's see what they got for the desserts today. I'm going down desserts. They have actually pretty banger. Oh, okay, we have the chocolate lava, fudge brownie with vanilla ice cream, chocolate syrup, whipped cream, and toasted almonds, and the cherry. The Kona pie. Ooh, Kona. Mocha almond fudge ice cream with cookie crust top. With that, I don't think we even need to talk about that. Don't you think we want the Kona, guys? We want the Kona, don't we?
Yeah.
Jamie, want the Kona? Just a bite? Okay, and
I'll
they don't have any nectarines here, so we're not going for the nectarines tonight.
Although you can get them. Huh?
We can do a nectarine smoothie if you want. I'm sure they can do that.
I should have put them in the freezer, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we can have them do a smoothie. How about that?
We'll get a
Kona pie. That's good. Okay, the hamburger and the Kona pie. Okay, so our main course tonight is talking about, we were looking at a thing where, are you familiar with Jamie, with Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff by Richard Carlson? Did you ever hear that book?
I'm familiar with the title. I haven't read the book, and I thought it was something about not sweating the small stuff and the bigger stuff falls in line, or it's all small
Right. Well, the whole thing was basically, you know, looking at the point of view that, you know, we get all worked up about the little things, and we can miss the really important things. And so we were just talking to Kathy about that, and we're saying, why don't we joy all the small stuff? And, you know, just come from a place of joy, come from a place of gratitude about all those small things in life that we can do, and just really giving it a different perspective. So, you know, paying closer attention to the details of life and noticing the small things that do really make a big difference. And that's actually been something I've been really noticing lately is just, you know, there's some other program that says if you can do something in 2 minutes, do it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, don't put it aside or whatever. Just take care of that one thing. Or if you can, you know, if you can sit for a couple minutes and, you know, enjoy a glass of lemonade or tea or something, and you can just be in that moment and, you know, enjoy your meal or beverage or something and really kind of look around you and take in that moment instead of being busy with your mind or something and not really looking and enjoying what you have in front of you, you know, be it a beverage or flower or whatever, just, you know, stopping to smell the roses and being able to look at that from just kind of a different perspective.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like to call those things almost like a joy seed. You know, let's plant some seeds of mindfulness, of seeds of joy, and have them be a good thing. So what do you think about that?
Sounds
I am
good.
Very happy all the time. All the time, all the time. I am very happy all the time. When I have a challenge, I will ask my angels and fairies for help. I am very happy. I am very happy all the time. I've got my team, they're working with me. I am very happy all the time. When I'm not so happy, I'm not connected. When I'm connected, life's so fine. I am very happy. I am very happy all the time.
Okay, we are happy all the time. There we go. Those little joy seeds. There we go.
A happy joy seed.
Huh?
A happy joy seed.
They're happy joy seeds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you have soy joy, sad joy seeds? I don't think there would be such a thing as a sad joy seed.
The cool
thing
about that is we get to hear Katie sing that song.
Yes,
and,
we do. Katie's my daughter, by the way, guys. Yeah,
right.
Very proud of her.
Mm-hmm. Is stuck listening to me sing it all the time.
And that's a joy, too. So there you go. There we go.
Well, the same as Katie.
Well, just, you know, to go back to that for a second, just taking some time to look at all the joy seeds that we can put in our life and then pick three or four things that we might use as seeds so we could use for just different things we can put in our life. Like, I'm going to start, you know, having unsolicited compliments every day. Or I'm going to have really make a commitment to be a deeper listener, things like that. So, just making those small changes.
Compliment that you don't solicit.
Huh?
How are you going to get compliments that you don't solicit? What are you going to do?
How are you going to get compliments that you don't? Well, sometimes if somebody gives you a compliment, you just say thank you.
Okay. No, you said you were going to get unsolicited ones, so I was just figuring out what the formula was to get them.
You like flip my hair and look really pretty, or dress super nice and just kind of stand there like. But see, isn't that soliciting? That would be soliciting. This is not a verbal solicitation, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Depends on the corners you're doing that.
Well, maybe it's just a matter of being a better listener and stuff. It's like a few shows ago when we talked about, you know, where you're shopping or something like that. You interact with the person who's helping you. Be it a waitress or somebody who's checking you out or something like that, you're treating them like a person instead of somebody who's just doing something so you can move on to the next thing. You're actually interacting and having a relationship with a person, even if it's just for a couple minutes, you know. Recognize you got that person in front of you. I had a really interesting thing happen a couple days ago. I was taking a flower delivery over to a mortuary, and one of the staff people came out from the back, and it was like I wasn't even there. There was no interaction, and I, you know, not that I was looking to go out of my way to have a reaction with her, but it was just like she was just almost wasn't like I wasn't there. So I just thought that was really kind of sad that she was so focused and just had something going on that, the, you know, you had a person right here in front of you and we didn't even have any contact with each other, even though we were fairly close to one another. It just felt really strange.
Maybe they were more used to dealing with people that weren't animated or live.
I guess I was looking for solicitations and I wasn't getting anything. So she was like focusing right in front of me, man. She's wasn't getting that interaction, that's for sure. So there you go. Yeah. So, you know, just something to think about the fact
to deliver to mortuaries quite a bit, or is that's part of, I imagine that's part of your business, right? Big part.
That's totally a part of my business, and it's interesting that I think it's actually been something that's really spurred my spiritual growth, because it's a matter
right.
of really wanting to come from a different perspective on it. When I see someone in rest, in their slum, you know, in a rested state, how that really is for them. And 9 times out of 10 now, I really see it as a vessel that carried them through their life. And it's a
wow.
matter of appreciating
right.
how someone is laid out. I mean, you know, I guess that's how they would say that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the other day, I had another one that was an open casket, and the
oh
lady was an older lady, and she had this beautiful
right.
blue sparkle dress on.
Oh.
It almost like she had this. It's like she had this beautiful starlit sky on her. It just was gorgeous.
You know,
and
they
I,
have
like, looked
this,
at it and complimented that. I'm like, how beautiful she looked.
There's a new. I don't know if it's new specifically, but up here in Washington, they have a plot of land where you can just go and get buried without a casket, and on, you know, I mean, like natural. And I guess it was something that without a covering or anything, and you assimilate a lot quicker into the ground. And it was something that was kind of controversial, because they were talking to people in the funeral business as well, who thought it wasn't quite apropos. But there's a whole kind of movement, like green, kind of green burial, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that Washington State is doing. They're allowing
yeah.
that.
Well, they have a plot of land, but it has to be under very specific rules. So it's not a really wide-known phenomenon. But
well, I would think depending on the circumstances of the death, they couldn't necessarily just bury somebody.
Right. Well, it depends if they were... if that's what they wanted and they were allowed to, I think it probably would be. But, again, it's not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's normal. It's like where I kind of think I come from a different perspective on that, because really I look at it as, you know, we're the ones as just a society, and especially being civilized, more of an urban perspective on that would look at it, well, you know, you need to have yourself in a container, you need to have yourself cremated, you need to do something with the body when, you know, for centuries that's basically what we did. There wasn't any kind of containment really. It was just basically, you know, just taking them back to the earth.
Right.
So, you know, it's more the norm than really the way we've been looking at it for just, what, maybe a couple hundred years? It hasn't really been that long, I think, for us to really go through the traditions of, you know, putting someone to rest. What does that look like? So I kind of like that Viking thing, you know, they just put you out on a big raft and set you on fire and you go out into the ocean. That's kind of like, wow, I guess it's just a little more theatrical. What do you think? If you're going to go, why not, you know?
Myself, I think I would like to be cremated, so I think
I'm yeah, right. I would too. That's totally okay with me. I mean, I didn't come
yeah.
in a box. I don't think I want to go out in a box. That's kind
right.
of neat. How about you, Kathy? What do you think? Kathy? Maybe lose her? I think maybe we lost her. Okay, we can ask her when she comes back.
I was on mute while I was chewing.
Okay.
So my husband passes away at age 59. We don't expect him to do that, right? So I go to the mortuary. They get ready. You know, we're making plans, and they say, okay, for a funeral in that casket, it will cost you $10,000, and we need it paid 24 hours before the funeral.
Right?
Now,
yeah.
That's because he wanted to be buried, okay? So right after that, and then I even got, you know, not the pine box, but something just one notch above that, you know, because people were coming to the funeral. And my 13-year-old says, Mom, I thought people got buried in pine boxes so that they could go back to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised. So
mm-hmm.
anyway, immediately afterwards, we all wrote down DNRs and our wishes. We all decided, the whole family, that we wanted to be cremated for $750, not $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, see, that's one thing that's been interesting, too, that I've noticed with the whole mortuary business, and it affects its lives as well, that, you know, pretty much the trend nowadays, the majority of people are getting cremated because
yeah.
of the fact that it's cheaper. And, you know, think about it with flowers and things like that. There used to be full displays of flowers to go with the casket and all that kinds of stuff, and now they only need maybe a couple little pieces to complement the table because it's more of a memorial table.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how things have changed Yeah, things have really changed with the economy and how things are just kind of going with people's needs and things like that. So that was kind of interesting to see if, you know, if they had all the money, how people would want to have that kind of a, you know, display for, you know, once they're gone. I would rather take the money and have a big party. What do you think?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Bring everybody to Disneyland. Yeah, for $10,000, everybody gets to go to Disneyland. We all have a big, you know, we have a fun day, eat all the food that I love. You know, there you go.
Yeah, you can take us there and back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's like my sister came up with the idea a few years ago to have funerals instead of funerals.
Funeral?
Have funerals, yeah. You're having fun. Yeah, you're fun and you're doing
something.
Things the person likes to do that. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, I want to have like a marching band. Wouldn't that be fun? A marching band when I die. That's good. Why not?
Abraham says, if we only knew that grieving family, if they only knew what a party that deceased one was having at the time that they're having a funeral.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Because it is a celebration. You're just changing. You're just changing into another, you know, form of being. You know, you're turning into a being of light again, as opposed to being heavy in a body. Yeah. It's just like when my mom died, I could see my mom on my inner vision. You know, it's like she was taking off a heavy coat. And she was so happy to get rid of the coat. It was just her body. You know,
yeah.
She was like, "Ooh, glad to get rid of that thing. That's been, I've been dragging that around like way too long."
There
you go.
The office one day, and she was so sad because a friend of hers had been in a car accident and passed on. And the friend was a young assistant DA or something like that and had two kids, and she was so sad. And I forgot my protocol, and I went, "Hooray, hooray, she's having fun today."
They're like, "Wow." Yeah. Well, and Abraham, too, would say that, you know, it's just like, you know, if giving people the death penalty, you know, when you think you're supposedly coming from a negative place with that, when it's actually the other way around, you know, you wouldn't give the death penalty to all these, you know, criminals. You would basically be, you know, like, you're too good.
You
there
knew
you go.
How much fun they were going to be having. You would not be giving them the death penalty.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So there you go. So, you know, we just really have a different perspective on depending on how you're raised and your religious beliefs and looking at all that and just being more a little more open-minded about what that's really about. You know, when my mom passed away, I winded up reading a couple books from different mediums that help people with grief therapy where they'd actually be able to talk to people on the other side. And it's really, I encourage that to anybody to really kind of look at that, whether it's James von Prague or what's John's last name? I'm trying to think of John's last name.
John Edwards.
You guys help me with that. Huh?
John Edwards. John Edwards?
Huh?
John Edwards,
yeah. John Edwards, or another one that it's the typical, I was in a bookstore after my mom had passed, and a book literally fell out off the shelf and landed on the floor in front of me, and it was this one book called Walking in the Garden of Souls by George Anderson, and it's a book all about, you know, different loved ones from the other side giving messages to people and what that's all about. So it's very, very interesting, too. So same kind of thing. I put the book back and looked at it. And went, "Oh, yeah, that's interesting." And then for 4 or 5 days, I literally just felt like I was getting bugged that I had to go buy the book. So I finally got it. And it really helped me to understand everything from a different perspective. And sometimes when we have a loved one pass, that really gives us an opportunity to look at our own, life and what that means and just life in general. So it really, to me, it was a very healing thing that my mom really gifted that to me after she had passed, helping me to understand it at a different level because I wound up having some dreams and stuff with her, and it helped me to just really appreciate, you know, life is on the other side, and, you know, we just go on to something else once we're done with this life. So it's all good, you know.
Go off to the fourth dimension. We go off to the fourth
dimension,
and then we revert to 30, age 30.
30's good. You want to go back to 30, Jamie?
You're
only 30 now, aren't you?
Isn't that the new 50 or wait, 30 is 40 or 40 is the new 30 or?
Yeah, it's always like, you know, they're saying when you're 60 it's the new 40 or something.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah,
okay,
it's the new 40. So there was 20 years or something like that. So I don't know. The older you get, the more years you get. You get to go the opposite direction. How about that?
Hey, how about that?
So when you're 70 or 40 or whatever, you're gaining those extra years. So, but
you know, Jack
Benioff
said he was 39 and holding. I don't know why he said 39.
Yes. And he lived a long time. I mean, he was in his late 80s or 90s when he died, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a growing population of centenarians, people over 100. And that's one of the things they talk about when people are over 100. They're like, I don't think of myself as an age. I think of my life and what I'm doing. It's just a number. It doesn't mean anything. You know, and they have a little bit of a tenacity about stuff. They just like, just because a doctor says something, they go, pooey on you, I don't believe it. You know, I know how I feel and I trust myself more than a doctor. So that's
there'll be a lot of boomers coming into retirement, but then well, they're ready for starting.
Yeah, they're saying it's going to be a growing population. They said the average age is, as we move into the next, you know, couple decades is going to be, you know, it's not going to be anything for people to be in their 80s and still having a lot of, you know, life and stuff like that. So, you know the idea of being over the hill when you're 50 and all that stuff, it's like, you know, you're just coming up to the top of the roller coaster and getting ready to go down and pick up speed. It's good. Kathy said she's going to be 150 before she passes away, so there you go. She's going to be the 100-year-old gal, so there you go.
And I was one of those people that said, I don't want to be 90. I'd just rather go move on to the next thing and not deal with freaky bones and stuff like that. And then I'm told I'm going to live to 150. I went, great.
Well, just because you're there doesn't mean you have creaky bones. That's okay.
Well, I'm just, you know, not somebody who's ever been afraid to die.
Right. Well, I had another lady that I delivered to over the weekend in a convalescent home, and she it took a couple minutes for me to find her, and when I finally did, you know, she looked at me and she goes, I have to tell you that I am the middle child out of 7 kids, and we all were raised on the farm, and she said, I'm the only one who ate all my fruits and vegetables, and I'm the only one still alive. I said, good for you. She was really cute, too. She had all these really bright rainbow-colored pictures on the wall, and her name was Olga, and she had her name, like, all rainbowed and everything, and it looked like one of her grandkids or something had done it. And I said, oh, who did this rainbow drawing of your name? And she said, oh, I did that. I'm like, wow, that's cool. So she's doing her own art and putting her name in these colorful rainbows. So there you go. And that's another thing that just makes it really good for something like that. So it's, you know, it's your perspective on stuff. It's not. It's just a number. So how are you living and enjoying your life? That's what really kind of matters. So are we ready for our after-dinner inspirational mint? What do you think, guys?
Yeah.
Ready for the mint?
What do you got? Lay it on us.
Lay it on you, baby. Okay. It says, when you get into a tight place and everything goes against you, till it seems as though you could not hold on a miracle longer. Never give up, for that is just the place and the time when the tide will turn.
Oh no! I have a jingle for that.
Oh no! You have a jingle? Okay, go.
Uh-huh. I have a jingle for that one. Okay, where's that jingle?
Or is the jingle?
It'll be fine, it'll be fine, it'll be fine, just take your time. Isn't it great, isn't it great? When you don't worry, you won't be late.
There you go. When you don't worry, your tide turns. There you go. It's all turning, it's all good. So Amy missed it last week. That was a very short jingle. But you can always, I keep telling her, hey, let's repeat that a couple more times and have it be fun. So last week, Jamie was only on for just like about 20 minutes, I think, last week.
I didn't get to hear the whole program, and that's unfortunate.
Yes, it was unfortunate. You missed out on all the wonderful things you can do with rubber bands and white vinegar. So there you go. It was quite a thing. So, Kathy, you said you had a few more things you wanted to share about white vinegar?
Well, no, I looked it up. I have 2 books. And I couldn't find my white vinegar book, but this one, it's all about cleaning, okay? It's still cleaning, but when I looked in the index, it had 100 references to white vinegar.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
Because
white vinegar is a chemical neutralizer. It neutralizes
it's
things.
It's a chemical neutralizer, yeah. And I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with what the white with apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar is also just a wonderful thing to do for for cleansing and helping your body to stay in a perfect pH balance. So if you ever wanted to, you know, instead of spending a lot of money on all these cleansers and detoxers and things like that that people talk about, you know, that's an alternative too, is to take a white, to apple cider vinegar.
Have you ever done the kombucha, or have we talked about that?
We haven't talked about that.
Has anybody done that at all? I mean, on their own, or because my mom was doing that about 20 years ago, and she had the cultures.
Tell us what that is, so to kind of tell everybody what that is and get us up to speed. So what is that?
I believe it's some sort of it's a growth or a fungus that you brew with tea, and then you drink the tea, and it's supposed to be beneficial. And it's been around for quite a while. I imagine there's even But the fungus itself, it replicates itself. So you can just keep making these batches, and you give them away to people, and they make their own. It's kind of an acquired taste. Well, it's more of, I guess, a fungus. I'll describe it. It looks like kind of just like a blob, I guess. But you have to use
glass. Because I did that a long time ago, and I thought it was a mushroom.
It could be very well, you know. I mean, like I said, all I know is that... she was doing that, and she was drinking it. She had my brother doing it, and I noticed that there's quite a market for it now, though.
Yeah,
and it's got a very vinegary kind of a taste and smell to it, that's for sure.
Her taste, and I'm not sure. I probably didn't drink enough of it or long enough to kind of see if it was beneficial, but wondering.
Yeah, because I think you have to, you could have it for up to a couple weeks, and then you were supposed to. It has babies. You give the babies off to other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Like sourdough starter.
See? Huh?
Like sourdough starter.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's what sourdough starter is.
Uh-huh.
In fact, the San Francisco sourdough company, you know, the San Francisco one.
With the mother.
200 years old.
Yeah, they say
right.
That's the original starter, right?
Yeah,
I've even heard of that one, Right.
In a vault or something.
If you go to California Adventure, they have, what's the name of the sourdough company? I'm trying to remember. Anyway, they have one of their sourdough companies from San Francisco, and it has this whole little infomercial that you can go through, and it shows you how they make sourdough. Sourdough bread. It actually takes a long time. It takes like days to make a loaf of sourdough bread.
I like sourdough.
You have to let it. Yeah, I do too. You have to let it rise and do all different kinds of stuff. So it actually has like a 5 or 6 day process before it actually can bake it. So we need to appreciate our sourdough bread. It's one of those feasts of joy and happiness. So there you go. And it's darn good with some clam chowder. Woohoo!
Oh,
there you go. Yeah, or you know, we can have it on our island burger. We'll have a sourdough bun. There we go. Okay. Sourdough bun. That's good. So anything that you Jamie went to Albuquerque this last week for a little R&R. Any insights or fun things you want to share about your little trip?
Well, just make sure the plane flying on is mechanically sound. Because if it's not, it's a little more of a bother. As we found out by trying to get on a plane that they kept trying to fix, they wouldn't tell us what was wrong, so we made other arrangements. But we did have a nice meal, and it put us up in a nice room. Although in the room itself, the building was under renovation, the room across the way was all stripped. And we got a bad feeling. We walked in there and had a weird smell. And then about 3 o'clock in the morning, we heard a dog barking quite loud, and we don't know where that came from. And then some noise like somebody opening and closing the closet door repeatedly.
Wow, it was haunted.
Maybe that was just us, and we were kind of tired. But, you know,
it might have been haunted. Who knows? They always have it on these ghost shows where they have these hotels where there's certain rooms that just have a lot more activity than others do.
We also, in our travels, went to Cimarron, New Mexico, which has a famous hotel there called St. James, which several people have reported. It's over 100 years old, have reported ghosts in there. And Jesse James supposedly stayed there and such. And my wife actually captured an orb on one of her digital pictures.
Oh, cool.
We were interested about that. We weren't there very long.
You didn't put a digital recorder out and, like, turn all the lights off and walk around for a little while, huh?
Although the rooms that we were photographing, where she was photographing, were blocked off, I guess you can stay in them because they are part of the hotel.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how
but
much
that's
that
where she
be.
Said that's where the orb was in one of those rooms they didn't want you
yes,
walking around in.
Yes, yes,
huh.
Of course.
Huh,
that was interesting,
okay.
too, as well. So,
well,
but
maybe why it was just like saying hi or something, you know.
I don't know. Our little adventure, it was fun, and New Mexico is hot.
Yeah.
Too hot
yeah.
for me anymore, so that's why I think I moved.
You're like, ah, I'm done. Well, yeah, because how warm is Seattle mostly? It's like stays in the 70s, or?
Well, you know, there is a trend, and it does get in the hundreds, but that's very rare. So up here, everybody wilts from that.
Yeah, I bet.
Not really
I bet.
It's kind of a mild spring and early summer here, but it's not really as hot as it should be. So that's the way it is.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, because California has been kind of very erratic in its temperatures. I mean, a couple weeks ago we were below normal, and then all of a sudden we shot up to our normal time. So we're like, we've been
right.
in the upper 80s now, and we're all like looking at each other going, wow, what happened
you
with
like,
that? You know?
This is more like it.
Yeah, exactly. So just to kind of recap everything for the show, just be sending, you know, positive thoughts to the Gulf, and just knowing that it's not going to be a quick fix, and we really, that's actually a good thing, that we're trusting that the, just kind of praying for the people that are in charge are getting the insights that they need to really be looking on a more global level for the effects that how this is going to, you know, be for everybody. And also, you know, check with your bank about the ATM thing if you've had any information about any kind of security for your you know, your stuff like that. And making sure you're, you know, pick four things that you want to just have for just being seeds of joy. What would that look like in ways that you want to just practice that for yourselves? So that's all a kind of good thing. And get out that white vinegar and go clean something. There you go. Actually, Gloria had a really good one too, Jamie, that was it was white vinegar, half and half. It was white vinegar with water, and then you just put a few drops of dish soap in there, and you could use it with ants. You get rid of all your ants. So you wouldn't have to worry about that.
That sounds like a really good thing.
Huh? I think we lost Jamie.
Yeah, so I'm pretending I'm Jamie.
Are you Jamie? That sounds really good. Okay. Yeah, we actually did. He just dropped off the call, but that's okay. Yeah, Jamie. Well, we'll just get out the whoopee wand. And like I said, the whoopee wand is still for sale. So if anybody's interested in that, as the time of the show, we're still offering it to the best bidder. And we're asking price for that's going to be about $100. So there you go. It's all good. And it just worked. I have to tell you, I accidentally cut my hand when I was doing dishes about maybe a week and a half ago. And Kathy did use the wand on it, and it is healing a lot quicker now. So there you go. So whether it was whether it was a placebo wand, I don't know. But there you go. It is healing quicker. So there you go. So Miss Kathy, you have a safe trip. Oh, okay. Make sure that you get home and you pack up all your stuff. It's good.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com. And checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.